Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship this morning, both those of you who are here in the sanctuary with us and anybody who might be listening to our radio broadcast, we welcome you with us. In the way of announcements, it is Advent, December 10th. We're going to have a special service because we're going to have Mitzi Collins and Roxanne Ziegler join us on harp and dulcimer. So we're going to have very special, very wonderful music that I'm looking forward to hearing. We're only having one service that morning, just at 10:30. And then that afternoon around 1, we're hoping to do Christmas caroling to some of our homebound members. Then the following week on December 17th, we're going to have our normal two services in the morning, but then in the afternoon at 3 o'clock, we're going to have a special service here in the sanctuary that the Interfaith Council is leading. So that's me and all of the other pastors in Avon, and it's going to be called a Blue Christmas service, a service where we sort of lay down our grief and then acknowledging that, but then leave with the hope of Christ. So that's December 17th at 3 o'clock. I think that's everything I wanted to announce. Was there anything else we wanted to add? Let us take a moment and prepare our hearts and minds to worship God. Friends, I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and join us in our call to worship. Watch and wait. Christ is coming soon.
Emmanuel, God is with us.
Look and see. God's creative power is close at hand.
Emmanuel, God is with us.
Stop and notice. God has a plan to do new things.
God is recreating us every day, reforming us in his image. Emmanuel, God is with us.
And let us pray.
When we turn away from you, God, forgive us and lead us back. When we sin and fall short of the people you need us to be, forgive us and help us do better. Speak to us anew, that we may hear your voice and see you at work in our lives and in our world. Shine on us with your grace and mercy, that we may always come back to you in your love, no matter how far we stray. In your name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning comes from Mark 13, verses 24 through 37. In those days, right after that time of suffering, the sun will become dark and the moon will no longer shine. The stars will fall and the powers in the sky will be shaken. Then the Son of Man will be seen coming in the clouds with great power and glory. He will send his angels to gather his chosen ones from all over the earth. Learn a lesson from a fig tree. When its branches sprout and start putting out leaves, you know summer is near. So, when you see all those things happening, you will know that the time has almost come. You can be sure that some of the people of this generation will still be alive when all this happens. The sky and the earth will not last forever, but my words will. No one knows the day or the time. The angels in heaven don't know, and the Son himself doesn't know. Only the Father knows. So watch out and be ready. You don't know when the time will come. It is like what happens when a man goes away for a while and places his servants in charge of everything. He tells each of them what to do, and he orders the guard to keep alert. So be alert. You don't know when the master of the house will come back. It could be in the evening, or at midnight, or before dawn, or in the morning. But if he comes suddenly, don't let him find you asleep. I tell everyone just what I have told you. Be alert.
Our anthem this morning is a very beautiful message to help us open our hearts to the Lord and to the season and to be ready to receive Jesus into our lives. With open hearts, we are waiting.
We pray.
So this morning, I was thinking about a gentleman by the name of Harold Camping. That name might not sound familiar. Harold Camping was an evangelist and the president of a radio station called Family Radio. It's a Christian radio station that was based in California, but that distributed to about 150 different United States markets. So even though it was a California-based station, a lot of people across the country listened to it. Camping, in his evangelism, believed that the end of the world, Jesus' second coming, the rapture, and then the end time, and all that was going to come with it, was going to happen, and it was going to happen really soon. So he made his first prediction that he thought the world might end on September 6th, 1994. Nothing happened on September 6th of 1994, at least not anything especially significant. But to that, in his defense, Camping said, well, that was just a guess. The next time that I think that Jesus is going to come back, he's really going to come back that day. He said that he was sure Jesus was going to come back and the rapture was going to happen in 2011. So when 2011 started to roll a little closer and it got to be like 2010, Camping said that based on extensive research in the Bible and based on his knowledge and based on his prayers, that he had calculated and narrowed down the exact day that Jesus was going to come again. It was going to happen on May 21st of 2011. He predicted that there was going to be the rapture that day, that all of the faithful followers of Jesus were going to be taken up to heaven. And then following that time, that there was going to be plagues and pestilence all over the earth and was going to affect the non-believers. The final destruction of the world was going to happen on October 21st of 2011. He felt so strongly about this timeline that he started a pretty extensive national campaign with talks on his radio show, with billboards across the United States, internet advertisements, and all kinds of other things so that everybody would get the word. Jesus is coming back on May 21st of 2011, so get ready. On May 21st of 2011, nothing noticeable happened. Again, Camping said, okay, well, maybe there was sort of a spiritual rapture, if not a physical one. But get ready, because on October 21st, that's when the big things are going to happen. Nothing happened that day either. It was kind of a crushing blow for Camping and for his ministry. And after that, he started to have pretty significant health problems, and he passed away ultimately in 2013. I don't say any of this to poke fun at him because he did his ministry and he should be lauded for it. And also I think that the dead should be allowed to rest in peace. But it was very interesting the amount of attention that he gathered for this May 21st of 2011 prediction. How many people really flocked to that and clung to that piece of certain information that Jesus is coming back on exactly this day. And of course, I haven't forgotten that end times prediction that Jesus was going to come back and the rapture was going to happen on May 21st of 2011, because that was also the day that Sean and I got married. So just imagine the jokes. And I'll just leave you with that, all right? So that's the reason why I've remembered all this stuff about Harold Camping. Jesus explicitly tells us, despite what you might have heard from Camping back in the day and from other similar sorts of people that have followed suit and tried to predict when this rapture might happen, when Jesus might come back, Jesus explicitly tells us in this morning's gospel passage and in a few others that we cannot know when he's going to come back. It's impossible for us to have that information, that that belongs to God and not us. And yet, Camping and many other people like him have tried to narrow it down, have tried to figure it out. And I don't blame them. I understand why. Because there's a lot of uncertainty in our faith. There's a lot of things that we don't know, that we don't understand, that we have to trust God with. And that can be perplexing and confusing and disheartening and even distressing, depending on what we're going through in our lives. Sometimes we would really just like some straight answers from God, and what we get is trust and obey. That's not always what we want to hear. There's a lot of comfort in certainty, in hard facts. There were a lot of people who were very comforted when Camping said, Jesus is coming back on May 21st of 2011, and as long as you follow me, you'll be ready for it. But Jesus doesn't work like that. Our faith life doesn't work like that. It'd be great if they did, because the more that we know about God, the more that we understand about God, the more that we can plan for, the more in control we feel of what's going on in our lives, what's going on in our churches, what's going on in our world. Feeling in control is pretty awesome. We like feeling like we're in charge, like we have the power. The trick is, in our faith life, we never have the power. God always has it, and we have to trust Him with it. But if you're the type of person who likes that feeling of control that comes from certainty, from knowing the answers about things, which is most of us at least sometimes, having a relationship with God can be just flat out frustrating. And it's something that we have to bear with as believers. There's so much in this faith life that we just have to chalk up to, well, it's the mystery of our faith. And we have to trust and we have to obey. That sounds great in theory. In fact, that even sounds noble. Just trust God with the answers and everything will come through. But in practice, gosh darn it, we want to know. But there's a whole lot that we don't. Perhaps one of the most perplexing of all of those big questions that we might have for God, things in our personal lives, things in our prayer lives, things that are going on in the world, things that we wish we could get a straight explanation from God on, might have to do with all of this stuff that will happen when Jesus comes back. That might be one of the most complicated and confusing questions in our faith practice. Will Jesus come back? What is a second coming? What is a rapture? And what is all of this end time stuff that the Bible talks about? We believe that that'll happen, right? At least in theory. It's part of the Apostles' Creed that we say that we believe that Jesus is going to come back to judge the living and the dead. It's part of the United Methodist Church's communion liturgy. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. So we certainly give a lot of words to it. We talk about it a lot. But there's a very significant piece of missing information here in terms of Jesus' life and his story here on earth. We know about Jesus' birth. We're celebrating that in a couple of weeks. We have stories about that. His life, or at least part of it, is documented in the Gospels. We remember Jesus' death on Good Friday, and we commemorate his resurrection on Easter, and then his ascension into heaven on Pentecost. But what about this last piece that we're missing? This Jesus will come again piece. Where does that fit in? When's that going to happen? We don't have a church holiday for that one. And there isn't a lot of information about that in Scripture. We have Jesus' words that we don't know when it's going to happen and we just have to be ready. And then to add to our perplexity here, to add to our confusion, we also have Jesus telling us in this gospel reading that there might be a lot of scary stuff happening before Jesus comes back. The sun will become dark, the moon will no longer shine, the stars will fall, the powers in the sky will be shaken. Gosh, if even a little bit of that is literally true, I'm scared. I'd sure like to know what day that's going to happen so I can prepare, right? But we can't. And if you really, really want to know more about that, then you need to seek out either people like Harold Camping or people like him that are still alive today, or maybe you can read the Left Behind books or do something like that. But in the meantime, we just have to trust God and obey and rely on what we learn here in church. I've got to tell you that in my life as a United Methodist, I can't remember a sermon that I have ever heard where the preacher has talked about what will happen when Jesus comes back. And I'm guessing I'm not alone in that. It's not an easy subject to preach about, partly because we don't know. I will tell you this. I'm not like Camping. I'm also not like Paul, who in the first century believed that Jesus' second coming was going to happen really soon, imminently, like in his lifetime. Jesus does give us a little piece of information in this gospel reading from Mark that's possible. He says that certainly some people in this generation won't pass away before all of these things happen, so I take Jesus seriously on that one. But I also have to say that lots of other people have tried to predict that Jesus was going to come back in their lifetime on their watch, and they've been wrong. So if I tried to predict something like that, I guess I'd be wrong too. I have faith that Jesus is returning to the earth, that that's part of his bigger story. I have faith that someday each of us will have a little chat with Jesus about how we used our time on this earth, how we followed him, how faithful we were, what kind of disciples we were. And that's part of our story, too. But I find it kind of wasteful to be super preoccupied with the rest of it. I think we need to trust God with the details. Now, in our Methodist tradition, we're much more concerned with what God wants us to do here and now than this issue of when Jesus is going to come back and everything that might happen then. So if Jesus came back, what would he see you doing right here, right now? And I think this is really the heart of what he's talking about in the Gospel of Mark. Just be prepared. What would Jesus see you doing if he came here now? What would your faith life be like? What would your discipleship and your service to him be like? Would he be pleased with what he's seeing? And if not, this is a good time of year to take inventory of that because it's Advent. It's a good time for us to take stock of what our relationship with Jesus is really like. What is our prayer life like? Do we read scripture? Do we attend church? Have we been giving? Have we been serving? Have we been involved in missions and outreach? Have we been talking to Jesus? Do we have a relationship with him? Because whether or not Jesus comes again anytime during our lives, that big rapture event, I don't know anything about that. But what I do know is that during this time of year, we remember that Jesus is always being born again within us. It's a different kind of him coming back. Whether we're just beginning a walk with Jesus now, we're just beginning a relationship in the Christian faith, or whether we've had a relationship with Jesus for a very, very long time, Jesus is always coming back to us. He's always being born again as an infant within our hearts. We're always starting over in a new relationship with him because he's always doing a new thing in our lives. And this is a good time of year for us to think about what new things Jesus might be doing for us. Will there be a rapture someday? Will there be plagues and pestilence and all of these other things? That I don't know. But for today, Jesus wants us to fill our world with the gifts that he gives us, the gifts that we can rely on. And these are things that we can be certain about, despite all the other uncertainty in our faith, despite all of the other unanswered questions, despite all of the things that we stand to get confused about, that Jesus wants to fill our world with his most sacred gifts, hope, peace, joy, and love. The four themes that we celebrate the most during the Advent season. And we can find comfort and certainty there, that even when the rest of our relationship with God is cloaked in this mystery of how he's really at work in the world, what are his bigger plans for us? What is he doing in our lives? Even when we have big, big, big questions about those things, we can be certain of the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love that Jesus wants to bring into this world. And that we should have those things present and we should be building them now so that if Jesus does come back today, he would look and say, "Well done, good and faithful servants." Amen. Friends, I invite you to receive the benediction. Our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer will guard our going out and our coming in from this time on and forevermore. And as all of God's people, we say together, Amen.
This week's service was from December 3rd, 2017, featuring Pastor Natalie Bowerman speaking on the topic of Things No One Knows.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.